Well, in case you didn't notice, this weekend is the 4th of July weekend. How many remembered that? Let's see your hands. All hands up. How many didn't realize that? Anybody like that? Hey, I'm Jim Black and just honored to be a part of the service today. I'm one of the assistant pastors. Pastor Jeff is out on a vacation, and so he trusts us to turn this over to us today. So we'll be finished by July the 4th. We'll be good. But glad to see you. This is always a wonderful weekend in all of our lives, especially in mine. I look back as I was sitting and singing and praising the Lord with you today. I got thinking about my life and how it's changed. You know, it's amazing. I didn't come to Christ until I was in the university. I was a young man, almost a grown man, in fact, you would say. And I wondered how I missed the importance of July the 4th. Now, July the 4th was my grandmother's birthday, so we always gathered together for her birthday. She had nine children, and they all had a whole bunch of children, and all those kids all were grown and had the kids, and then all those kids had, some of them had boyfriends and girlfriends, and so we'd gather at my farm with my mom and dad, and there'd be hundreds of people together. I mean, so many that we didn't even know them all. It'd be volleyball games going and badminton and baseball. Some people were hitting golf balls and hitting each other and a lot going on. And we'd have cookouts. We'd eat and eat and eat. And then if you left a hamburger down, somebody would eat that. You'd get another one. And we spent all of our time. And at night we would then get the sparklers and burn stuff up and blow things up. And then I came to Christ, and we continued that, but I was amazed that when I came to the Lord, that I didn't get the message about this Christian stuff. Isn't it amazing how you can grow up? For some of you today, this is your first experience in a church setting. I understand what that's like. And you say, how can this be? How can I just come to a church for the first time? And maybe you're invited by someone. I was invited by a girl. A girl took me on a date to church. That'll tell you how hard up she was, I'll tell you what. She said, this guy needs to go to church. And they said, if you'll go to church with us, we'll make you a steak dinner. And I says, I'm in. I'm going to do that. I can put up with anything for an hour if I can get a steak lunch. And I did. And when I trusted Christ, I was amazed as I began studying how important Jesus is to the nation that we call America. On July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence being accepted and signed, and our nation was born. It is an amazing thought to think just 240 years ago we began. And throughout all of the history that we have, there have been someone sitting in a church like this for all of these years. The music might have been different. In fact, we sang a couple of songs. We lifted some lyrics out of songs that were written in the 1800s. Kind of moved them up a little bit, but they were there. And here we gather in this place. And one of these days, someone else will have our seat. We'll be gone. And if the Lord tarries his coming, someone will be where you're seated today. And someone will read about what we believed and what we thought. And it's hard to believe just 240 years ago. Now, that seems real old, but I've met a few folks that are about 100 years old. And I've seen some look like they were almost came over on the Mayflower. I couldn't believe it. But we find it to be very interesting. And so today I just have a few thoughts for us, not a history lesson, but as a young man and a law school wanting to be an attorney, I thought to myself, where did I miss out on this? How did I not get this message? Where was this at when I was growing up? I led my family to Christ. I was the first one in my family to know the Lord as Savior. And good family, good people, hardworking people. But it is amazing how we can grow up in America and miss the blessing of God in our life. In Psalm 33, we look at a verse in the book of Psalms, the 33rd verse. Men have been reading this since the founding of our nation. And it says this in verse 12, Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is is the Lord. What makes America great today isn't because we are perfect people. Isn't because our founding fathers were perfect. They were no more perfect than we are. They had sin, they had mistakes, they were wrong in some ways, but they realized that they needed the Lord. And so America has an amazing heritage that is so extraordinary. The blessings that our nation experiences. And I know there's a lot of people that don't like America. Well, I'm not one of them. I love America. I thank God for the freedoms and the privileges and the blessings that God gives to us here. The right to assemble in this place and to meet in this auditorium. And across our country today, there'll be Bible studies and small groups, and people will gather together and they'll read the Word of God. It's a very interesting thing. Even in our pledges, we talk about one nation under God. What an extraordinary story, America. And this is the real truth of America's greatness with the people that live here. When we think about beginnings, we think about wonderful truths. Daniel writes in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, dealing with the raising of Israel and the Babylonians and the Assyrians and all that was involved. Historically important to us, Daniel writes in chapter 5 in verse 21, basically he says this, "The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he appoints over it whomsoever he will." It is God that is in control. We're not in control. We think we are, but we're not. It is God that is in control. Jeremiah, the writer, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 4, says, "The Lord lives in truth and in judgment and in righteousness. That the nations shall bless themselves in Him." That the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. Proverbs says something that also is important. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so when we think of America today, we must realize its founding, its beginning, and those that would share the Word of God and preach the Word of God and pray for one another and listen to the principles of God in their life. George Washington made this comment in 1787. He says, "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." And so we look at life and we look at our nation and we think of great truths. Our founding fathers, not perfect as we know, but as they would gather together and profess faith in God and in the Bible. In fact, when they were writing the Constitution of the United States of America, I carry one in my backpack. It's amazing. In fact, it's smaller than most contracts for an app on my computer. That's amazing. And I think, you know, this is so important to us. And so we find that Franklin, in the framing of the Constitution, they had been engaged in three weeks of fruitlessness, wrangling and fighting and arguing. When it looked like all was done, Benjamin Franklin arose and he said, "Mr. President, I perceive that we are not in the position to pursue this business any further. Our blood is too hot. I therefore move, sir, that we separate for 3 days, during which time, with a conciliatory spirit, we talk to both parties. And if ever we make a constitution, it must be with the work of compromise. And while I'm on my feet, I move, sir, and I am also astonished that it has not been done before. For when we signed the Declaration of Independence, we had a chaplain to read the Bible and to pray daily. And I now move that when we meet again and that we have a chaplain to meet with us and invoke the blessings of heaven. For, sir, it has been wisely written, 'Except the Lord build the city, they that labor in vain, they labor in vain who build it.' And if it is true that a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, surely a nation cannot rise without His aid. Our nation is a very unique nation. We have people from all around the world that are here. And we have battles. America has battles. We have political battles and psychological battles, and we have the educational battles. And our founding fathers were not ignorant men. They understood debate. They debated politics and philosophy and education. These were not ignorant. These were not imbeciles. These were intelligent men. They weren't out of what we would call cavemen. They understood. They weren't in the dark ages because they weren't enlightened. They were interesting men. And they were the men that said, you know, by God's grace, we need God's help as we found this nation. James Madison was known as the chief architect of the Constitution, the fourth president of the United States of America. He was a member of the first United States Congress. He was the original author and promoter of the Bill of Rights, which he made the very first right, freedom. He says this, and this homeschool guy says the freedom of our worship. Brought up in Princeton University, very interesting. Princeton, also known before it was named Princeton, it was called the College of Virginia. And the president of that college was a man by the name of John Witherspoon. I'm sure you're familiar with him. He was also a signer of the Declaration of Independence. A very interesting individual. Stunning when you read about his life. Preaching from jail. And they would slash his hands with whips. And the blood would drip down as he would preach God's truth. Witherspoon, president of Princeton. Princeton declared at that time, and here's the word that they said for their purpose: cursed be all learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is important for us. One of these days, I'll be off the scene. Someone else will be in this pulpit. One of these days, I'll kiss my children and my wife and grandchildren for the last time. One of these days will be my last walk through a hallway like this to share a message with car racers or boat racers and those that we love. And what is important is the cross of Christ, where Jesus died, was buried, and the Bible says rose from the grave, that He is our Savior. He is the propitiation for my sin. He is the way to heaven. And Witherspoon said this university would be training people and helping them. It is the Most High that rules in the kingdom of men. The sad thing that so many young people, and some of you in this room, all we hear is separation of church and state. And really what the world is trying to do is the world is trying to separate us, separate our country from God. Now I know that when we come to church, for some this may be a new thought, this thing of God in our life. But God was involved in our lives, in the politics of life. In fact, on January the 1st, 1802, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to the Danbury Association of Danbury, Connecticut, to calm the fears that Congress was in the process of choosing one single religion to rule, or Christian denomination to rule over America. And the Danbury Baptist Association was very concerned about this. And Jefferson wrote the letter. And he borrowed some phrases from Roger Williams, and who said that there would be a hedge or a wall of separation between the garden of the church and the wilderness of the world, and God has not ever broken down that wall. And Jefferson concluded by saying these words: believing that the religion is a matter which lies solely between a man and his God, that he owes account to none other for faith and for worship, and that the legislative powers of government and opinions shall not change or monitor or stop them. He says that there would be thus this building of wall of separation between the government, the church, and the state. Not to keep us from praying for America. Not to keep us from talking about God in America. It's an amazing thing that even today, kids can't pray on football fields. Can't pray at graduations. Everybody gets worked up when you're praying. I was praying the other day at a restaurant, and a lady asked me if I was praying. And I said, I am. And she says, I want to ask you a question. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. And she said, I've been in here all day, and I've been waiting for someone to pray. It was a Sunday. So let me tell you something. Sometimes it's good just to pray so people can tell you're praying. Amen. Every now and then we pray like this, dear Lord, bless the food. Amen. We sneak in one of those quick prayers. But she was waiting for somebody to pray, and we prayed. It's an amazing thing, praying. Praying is good. Amen. I was with a guy in an airplane one time, and we'd been sitting on the tarmac for literally hours. And the plane was getting ready to take off. And I've told you this before, but I want to hear it again. And as we started to take off, everybody clapped. And the guy's name, his name was Jim also, and he jumped up in the aisle. He says, before we take off, he says, I want to pray. And the steward says, sir, you'll have to sit down. Sir, you'll have to sit down. And he began praying. And he prayed. And it was very interesting because the guy is totally crazy. He said, now, God, we want you to take all the dams off the airplane. All the dams off the pilot. All the dams off of the stewardesses. And God, we want you to bless this flight. We don't want you to damn this flight. In Jesus' name, amen. And he sat down and everybody clapped. Because for 2 hours, everybody was asking God not to bless the airplane or the pilot. And they gave the guy a bottle of champagne. Can you imagine that? I tell you what, I thought, look at this. And he prayed. We need to learn to pray. Pray in our life. Praying for God's blessing in life. You know, we love America today. We love America because of its purpose. The purpose of its beginning. I love America because of the character of its people. I love America because of the persistence in conflict. We don't quit and we don't give up. I was reading about the wars and the many who have died in war. And you ask yourself, why is there war? What a horrible thing. The Bible answers those questions. And I love America because America has been blessed by God. It was in Jamestown, Virginia, where 104 settlers would gather. They would write what they would call the Virginia Charter, also known as the Charter of 1606. I've been to that little town in Jamestown, there in the Tidewater area. Very interesting. And they wrote a charter. And in this charter, here were the words, the simple words of their purpose as these people would gather in Virginia, in a town called Jamestown under the authority of King James. And it says the purpose of this town and this settlement is to glorify God, propagating the Christian religion with the seal of King James. 409 years ago, they go to a little place called Jamestown. 14,000 Algonquian Indians around them. And they were surrounded by a powerful chief by the name of Powhatan. And it's very interesting in this Tidewater area. In fact, the captain, John Smith, was captured by the Indians. And a little maiden whose name had been changed to Pocahontas. It's more than a Disney story. Was involved in sparing and saving his life. It was Pocahontas who was the first recorded convert in America. She trusted Christ and was baptized at Jamestown. And later would marry John Rolfe and have her name changed to Rebecca Rolfe. Very interesting. We think about the pilgrims that would come in the 1600s, 1620. And their compact begins in the name of God, amen. And it talks about how that they were undertaking this journey for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith in honor to our King and country, a voyage to plant a first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. And these, they would say, that were present solemnly and mutually present themselves in the presence of God one to another. You know, it's very interesting to me how that our country, that we celebrate its beginning on the 4th of July, had a foundation with those who believe like I believe. They believe the Bible like many of you believe. We understand that the God of this world seeks to blind their minds and our minds. It was amazing to me how I could grow up and miss the story. It's amazing to me how hundreds of people can drive by this church every week and never even see us. I invited a man to church and he said, "Where do you go to church?" And I told him. And he said, "Where's that at?" I says, "Almerton, down by Walsingham." And I went through that whole thing. He says, "Well, I drive down there every week." I says, "Well, where's that big church?" He says, "There's a big church there." Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? It's not that he's against the church. He's just blind to the church. He doesn't see it. And that's why we're to be the light. We're to be the witness. We're to be the salt, winning people to the Lord. The world is very interesting. And it's amazing in the Declaration of Independence that we celebrate our independence and freedom and liberty, signed in July the 4th, 1776, begins with these words: "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among themselves the powers of earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's gods, God entitles them." God entitles me. It's not government that entitles me. It's not the power of some political party. It is God who empowers us and gives us rights and liberties. It is God that we answer to. In fact, he says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." Means we have a Creator. We didn't evolve. We didn't just come out of some little swamp somewhere. I know you've heard that. I understand that. It's an amazing thing that we deal with. It's an amazing thing that if you kiss a frog and it turns into a prince, it's a fantasy and a made-up story. But if you let that frog have a couple million years and he turns into a prince, we call that science. Amazing to me. Amazing to me. Now, what I'm saying to you is this, is that it is God that is in control of our life. Men are created. We didn't just evolve. It kind of sounds like our national anthem: "Our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing." Let me share a couple thoughts with you first of all today. One is we want to remember the God of America. Now, I understand not everyone believes in God. I understand there are others that believe in false gods. I was playing golf years ago in Thailand, and I hit a ball into the rough. I mean into the woods. I mean into the jungle. And being an expensive $3 ball, I looked for it. And as I was in there, I found that there was a little house in there. And I asked a guy, I said, "What is this house? This is the fanciest birdhouse I've ever seen." He said, "It's not a birdhouse. It's a spirit house." He said, "People bring food and money for their loved one who must have died here." I thought somebody else must have hit a ball in the rough. That's what happened. He hit the poor gardener right in the head and off he goes. I know that there are people that believe in different gods. I know that there are those that would believe in Allah. I don't believe in Allah. I believe in Jehovah. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again. And I think it's important for us to understand this. And we live in a world where if we're not careful, our foundation will be pulled from under us. The very blessing of God we will lose. And so we don't want to forget the God of America. In Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10 it says, "And they know thy name will put their trust in thee. For you, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek thee." And so we seek God. And we realize that it is God who helps us and strengthens us. It is amazing how much we can pray for people when they're having a tough time. I pray with people all the time that don't want anything to do with me until they're having a difficult time. And then they want to pray. The God of America, the blessing of America, it is God that has blessed us. I mean, when you think about all that we've got going, and by the way, America is more than just amusement parks, roller coasters, and Ferris wheels, and merry-go-rounds. America, in its beginning, has had the blessing of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom the Lord hath chosen to be his own. And we want God's blessing. I want God to bless my grandchildren. I'm going to spend some time with them. I love it when I get a little picture of them and I get to talk to them and get to share with them. I love it when we talk to them about the Lord. My little grandson one day called and he says, "Papi, I want you to know that today I asked the Lord to be my Savior." And I said, "Well, Dalton, that is wonderful." And he was all excited about knowing the Lord as Savior. A little bitty guy, sweetheart. He was praying the other day at the table with us. And as he was praying, he prayed for Sissy, that's his sister. And he prayed for Peanut, that's his other sister. And he prayed for Mommy and Daddy and the whole family. Amen. And soon as he finished, he looked at me and he says, Papi, I included you when I said the whole family. He was afraid that I felt bad because I was left out, and I did feel pretty bad. We got talking the other day, and his grandfather on his mama's side went to be with the Lord. Grandmother went to be with the Lord. And he says, Papi, he says, I know three people in heaven. Nanny's in heaven. Papa Dale is in heaven. And Josie, that's his little dog, is in heaven. I said, I don't know about the other two, but I'm sure Josie's going to be there, but... We're okay. And I thought, how sweet to know the Lord and to love God. I remember when his daddy was saved. I remember that wonderful day. And the blessing of God in our life. God has been good to us. We have a wonderful nation with all of the problems that we face. Let's not deny the Lord. Because if we do, then we face the third thought is the doom of America. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It is righteousness that God blesses. We pray for God's blessing, but are we blessable? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Oh, we say, this is what I want. We get what we want, but we'll not want what we get. And so there is a doom that is ever present when we turn our back on God. The Bible says God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. And so we find that we need to realize that God is in control. And when we talk about a nation, we're talking about us. We talk about crowds, we're talking about the individual people that sit in a room like this that need the Lord. You say, well, I've got my own way. Well, good luck with that. What we need is Christ. And the Lord is our Savior. And the hope of America is what is important for us. I find it to be very exciting to see young people in this place where mom and dad bring you and you're here. Maybe you don't want to be here, but you're here. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad maybe some girl said, if you'll go with me, I'll feed you a burger after lunch today or for lunch today. And here you sit. You don't realize how quickly and how wonderfully your life can be changed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people that he hath chosen to be his inheritance. In Corinthians, the Bible says, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I used to think that if I ever trusted Christ as Savior, I'd have no more fun. That was it. Sitting around humming all the time. Just not having any fun. Going to church and being like all those crazy church people. See, I didn't know church people. I went to church and I sat in the crowd and they set me up in the, not in the center section, but I think it was the sinner section because the preacher looked at me the whole time. I said, surely this girl has given this guy a note about me. And there I sat and I listened to the message and I trusted Christ. You know, living for the Lord is a great life. Amen. It's a phenomenal life. It's a wonderful life. Oh, people get upset with you sometimes because of your a stand for Christ. And you don't have to be ugly and mean about it. You don't have to be a crazy person. You don't have to even be a nut. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, there's no nut like a church nut. Have you ever noticed that? And what we need to say is, God, by your grace, help me to love you and serve you. And the hope of America is the young children who love God and serve God and learn the Bible and study. And say, I understand where I've come from. We're getting to the place where we can't even write cursive anymore. Which means you couldn't read the Constitution in cursive handwriting. And what we need to say is, God, we want liberty and we want peace. The Liberty Bell that we talk about. The reason they call it the Liberty Bell, because on it engraved is the words out of Leviticus chapter 25. These words where there is liberty. And so we find we need God. And God is the hope of America. God is the hope for your life. God is the hope in each and every one of us. One of our favorite verses is the principles taught in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need God today. We need to be praying today. Let me give you a couple thoughts. First of all, I think you should consider God in your life. You need to say, God, help me not to forget you. Help me to remember who you are. And God, help me in my life to walk with you, to love you and serve you in all that I do. It's a wonderful blessing. I remember going home and praying. I was a praying person. I prayed, but I never knew the Lord as Savior. And when I met Christ as Savior, my life was changed. Consider God. Secondly, surrender to God. Let God have His way in your life. He's not going to wreck your life. He's going to bless your life. He'll bless the lives of those. He'll bless your neighborhood and bless your family and bless your children. It is an amazing thing to watch. I understand that life isn't just butterflies and rainbows. I understand that. I deal with professional people, rescue people, policemen, firefighters, those that are in the military. And I understand that life can be very ugly. And they get around us and all we talk about is, everything is so sweet. Ah, da, da. And they look at us and they go, ah. They say, what you need to do is walk with me for a little while and you'll find out it isn't as pretty as we make it out to be. I understand the belly of sin. But I'm going to tell you something. The answer is God. And what we need to do is say, God, help me to surrender to you and live for you. And I would encourage you then thirdly to pray for our country. Pray for America. Pray for a place, if the Lord tarries His coming, that can be blessed of the Lord and be a praying person. It was very interesting to read some comments of General Andrew Jackson, who would become the president later in life. In the War of 1812, he received this complaint. And there was this complaint, and it was from some of his officers complaining that men were making noises in their tents. And the general asked, what are they doing? And the officer replied, the men are praying and singing, which is a violation of the Articles of War prohibited. We're prohibited of any unusual noises and thus requiring them to stop. The famous Tennessean, the future president, responded, that's a crime. God forbid that a prayer should be unusual noise in my camp. And he ordered all of his officers to join the other men in prayer. Amen. How sad it would be for prayer to be an unusual event in our life, in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, in our country. We need to be praying that God would meet our need. Maybe you're here today and you need the Lord as your Savior. You say, what would I do? What can I do? It's not what you can do. It's what He's done. You trust Him. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the grave. He has blessed us with the freedom to proclaim this message. And maybe where you're at today, you'd say, I need Jesus as my Savior. Maybe your life is falling apart. Then you need to return to Him and say, God, I've got this all messed up. I'm going to remove myself now. Guide and direct me and help me to get the direction and the leadership and help me to see you work in my life to have these issues and situations taken care of. Let me pray with you today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed today. Maybe today you're in this place for the first time. You've grown up in America, but you've missed the importance and the power of what made America great. It's not just the Declaration of Independence. It's not even the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. It is that God who has blessed us. And maybe where you're at today, you'd say, you know, I need the Lord as my Savior. God is working in my heart. My chest is pounding and God is dealing with me. You know who you are. Maybe right where you're seated today, you would pray a simple prayer like this. I'll help you. You can pray it with me. Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. And today, Lord, I ask you to be my Savior. And today, the best I know how, I give you my life. And I ask you to give me a home in heaven in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today, it's a wonderful truth. God will do a work in your life and help you. Maybe your life is confused and all messed up and you're trying everything but God today. Trust the Lord. Let Him have His way in your life. And I would encourage each and every one of you here today to realize America is great. And if there's any good in it, it's not because we're just good people. It's because of our great God. And let us return to Him and love Him and serve Him. Let's stand together, please, and let me have a prayer with you. Let's all stand together. Father, today we thank You for these men and women that are in this place. Throughout the many hundreds of years, many, many times, there have been gatherings like this since the founding of this country, the United States of America. We've not always been united at the times we fought. We've not always been in agreement. But God, we pray that we would walk with You and love You and serve You. I pray for these families today, You'd meet their needs and strengthen them. These young men and women, that You would give them courage and strength and conviction in Your Word to make a difference, so that when they're behind the pulpit and when they're leading this world, they will not forget You. God bless our homes. God, I pray for these that need You today and that have prayed a prayer to receive You here in this room and maybe listening by way of internet. God, thank You for them and save them and give them assurance of that salvation in Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. God, today, meet our every need and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, God bless you and God bless America. Have a great weekend. See you next time.